Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about a subject that sometimes people think is just a minor inconvenience. But if you've ever had problems with your sinuses, you know it can be much more than that. It can be something that in serious situations can even be life-threatening, certain types of sinus infections. We're going to talk about the whole spectrum of sinus problems and some very exciting strategies, natural, non-drug strategies for sinus problems. These kind of things that resonate with Native Americans, First Nation peoples, really looking at ways that we can avoid medications and treat this very common problem. The person who's going to help us understand this subject in much more detail is Dr. Murray Grossan. Dr. Grossan is an ear, nose, and throat specialist who has put considerable research energy and clinical practice enthusiasm, if you will, into this whole subject. Dr. Grossan, it's wonderful to have you with us on our program.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, you have a very unique background as far as an ear, nose, and throat doctor and why you got interested in the whole natural remedy or non-drug approach for sinus problems. Share with our listeners a little bit about your background.
Well, yes. After my training at Bellevue, I came to Los Angeles, and, of course, my office was right smack next to Los Angeles Airport. And so I was treating a lot of stewardesses and pilots, and they can't take medications. Then okay. I was treating scuba divers. We're right here by Catalina Island, and a wonderful place for diving. And so that also put me in touch with people who could not take medications. And then I've always been interested in the ancient healing methods. When I was a Boy Scout leader, we went out to one of the Indian reservations and saw the products that they were using, and a lot of them were correct. For example, wintergreen and hot tub soaks and things like that. And it was interesting to try to understand why these things worked. And then when we did that, we came up with some ideas of how to treat sinus.
Well, you know, Dr. Grossan, many people, have heard about sinus problems. Many have experienced them, but can you kind of walk us through a little bit? What are the common kind of sinus problems someone may have? What sinuses are and how they get into problems?
Sure. First thing is that you have to teach your children not to blow the nose too hard. In other words, a hard blowing of the nose will push bacteria into healthy sinus areas and into the ear. That's number one. And number two, when you have a sinus problem, it's the more you can relax and take it easy, the better. Now, sinuses are basically empty holes, and they're put there because the head has to be a certain size. Horses have sinuses also, you know, and they have a lot of sinus problems. Anyway, in order for us to have the ears so that we have hearing the way we do and binocular vision and so on, the head has to be a certain size. And in order to have the head not be too heavy, why we have these empty spaces. There are empty spaces below the eyes and above the eyes and between the eyes and in back of the eyes. And so very often people will have a bad pain above the eyes, and very often it is due to a sinus blockage or infection.
Okay. So basically, if I hear you right, the sinuses, we'd say, do not serve a useful function in themselves. As far as we know, they're not performing some job that needs to be taken care of. Is that correct?
Actually, they do perform a good function. They help the voice resonate. They produce mucus that helps moisten the air that goes to your lungs, and again, they keep the head from being too heavy. So they actually do perform some function.
Okay. So we've got these sinuses, these empty spaces, these cavities in the head, and some people get them blocked up. Can you just have problems with congestion without having infection?
Yes. For example, you can have allergy. You can have irritation from some bad odor. Your nose can get congested when you're stuck behind a diesel bus. In certain industries where they work with toxic metals and so on, people who do a lot of grinding, this will cause the nose to swell and congest and block the sinus. The problem is that once the sinuses are blocked, then the bacteria multiply in there and can be a real infection. So you do need to get the sinuses unblocked.
Okay, so most people, if they have a sinus infection, if they've had them before, they're used to the routine of going to the doctor. The doctor will typically, at least in my experience, prescribe a course of antibiotics. And is that the standard approach still today?
It is. On the other hand, because I am an ear, nose, and throat specialist, what we see are the people who did have an infection in January, got an antibiotic, then they got another infection in April, got another antibiotic, and now they're back in my office in June with another infection. And what's happened is that the nasal cilia, these little microscopic hairs that move the bacteria out of the nose, have not come back to normal speed. And so what we do is we put them on hot tea, lemon, honey, and chicken soup. And these actually do stimulate the cilia and get them moving. If that doesn't work, we put them on my gadget called HydroPulse, which pulses the cilia, gets them moving, and at the same time removes any thick phlegm. Usually that works pretty well.
Now, I know in your book, the Sinus Cure, Seven Simple Steps, you speak about this HydroPulse, and I've had the privilege of actually looking at the equipment. I mean, just for what it's worth, I know that you're not mainly trying to capture the imagination of 12-year-olds, but my boy, I showed him the HydroPulse unit, and he said, "Oh, that is so cool." And he's telling everyone, you know, if you get a congested nose, we've got this machine. My dad's got this radio guest, and you can... Do people use it just for nasal congestion, or is it especially for the sinuses?
Well, for both. You see, a lot of people have what's called postnasal drip. Postnasal drip is basically this thick phlegm that accumulates on the back of your throat and causes you to cough and so on. You're not really sick, but on the other hand, you're bothered by this smelly stuff, and you don't feel as good as you might, and there is bacteria. So by using the HydroPulse, you get the cilia moving very well, and this can make a difference in terms of clearing that up. Now, for ordinary congestion, a lot of people do very well with the over-the-counter medications, and if that works for you, fine. What you have to be careful of is, for example, if you use nasal sprays over-the-counter like Afrin, if you use them too much, they can become addicting. And you start off using the Afrin once a day, then twice a day, and keeps on going until you're using it every hour on the hour. And that's not a very good situation. So we'd like to avoid that.
And so,
the other thing, too, is that so many people, because of all the advertising, panic when they get a little bit of congestion. You know, we've had colds around for years and years, and basically, you know, some lots of chicken soup, going to bed, and in the morning you feel better. So I think the overdosing is what's keeping a lot of people from getting well naturally.
Excellent point.
Yeah, relaxation is terribly important. Remember, the In Indian culture, all sorts of illnesses were cured by going to the hot springs and laying in the hot springs and relaxing. And today we know why that worked physiologically, because a lot of these people had asthma, arthritis, and so on. And by soaking in the hot tub, for example, like in Palm Springs, their natural cortisol level came back, and they felt much better. So a lot of this ancient wisdom is very important.
Now tell us this. I've got a couple of questions relating to what you've mentioned. The first one is this, mentioning that the baths. I've heard that oftentimes when there is congestion in the head, people say that if you get the lower part of the body in heat, like a hot bath, that this helps to dilate or open up the blood vessels in the lower part of the body and draw blood away from the head. Does that make sense physiologically from the standpoint of ear, nose, and throat problems?
Well, I think it's the idea that the person relaxes, and it's the act of relaxation that helps open up the nose. But again, if you don't have a hot tub handy, tea, lemon, honey, and chicken soup works pretty well.
Now, the other question relating to these simple remedies, of course, in Native American communities, many of them, tobacco was something that was sacred. It was used ceremonially. It was not used in the addictive, habitual way that many people use it today, even in Indian country. And I know from a lung standpoint, the tobacco smoke paralyzes these little hairs, these cilia. I really don't know what it does to the cilia in the sinus area. Is it the same problem there as well?
Yes, it is. But strangely enough, people have a difficulty when they stop smoking because the tobacco has acted like a sandpaper effect and has actually kept the nose open. And so when you remove that sandpaper, there's a reflex of congestion. And a lot of people have gone back to smoking for that reason. And so for them, the hydropulse is ideal because that will prevent that snapback, so to speak, when they quit smoking.
Okay, so it's kind of a rebound phenomenon, just like with the Afrin. If you stop using it. Okay, and then after a while, presumably, they can get by without using the hydropulse as much, or do they tend to be dependent on that as a result of smoking?
Actually, once the nose is back to normal, you don't need the nose to be more normal. So, for example, post-nasal drip usually takes about 2 weeks. For the simple chronic sinusitis, usually takes about a month of daily irrigation.
Now, if someone wants more information, Dr. Grossan, about your book, about the hydropulse, is there an easy way that someone can get information on these things?
Yes, we're on the Internet, www.grossan.com. And by the way, there's a video of a child using the hydropulse that really explains how it works.
Okay, great. So www.grossan, that's grossan.com.
That's it, yes.
You know, there's so much more that we need to talk about, and I know you've got some points here, so share with our listeners what's on your mind right now.
Yes. Do we have time now?
Yeah, just go ahead and we'll...
I'm sorry, yes.
No, we'll lead into that and then we'll go from there.
Sure. This thing about relaxation is really important, but you can't just tell a person to relax. What we do is we have people stand in front of a mirror and look at the face and see the jaw relax, see the shoulders relax, see the eyelids sort of close. And one good trick is to change your breathing from equal time breathe in 4 and out 6.
Okay, we want to talk some more about these breathing techniques and about relaxation. We're talking with Dr. Murray Grossan. He's an ear, nose, and throat specialist, author of The Sinus Cure, and a developer of the hydropulse that you've been hearing about. We're going to learn more simple things you can do right at home that can make a difference as far as your sinuses without taking medications. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned for more on American Indian Living.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, also known as NAHI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHI is available at nahicharity.org. The Lifestyle Center of America is another American Indian Living sponsor. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 1-800-596-5480.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people, and full of people. For the people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking today about sinus health and especially about natural things that can make a difference as far as those chambers in the head functioning more efficiently, doing the job that they were designed to do, if you will. The person who's sharing his expertise and making this potentially complex subject very understandable for us is Dr. Murray Grossan. Dr. Grossan is an ear, nose, and throat specialist. He practices at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in the Los Angeles area, and he is the author of the book, The Sinus Cure. The book has been out there since 2001. You may have already picked up a copy or read it, published by Ballantine Books. Dr. Grossan, you tell me, is that correct, that in addition to getting lots of visibility as a result of your book, you've gotten quite a reputation in the ear, nose, and throat community for your invention, the HydroPulse.
Yes, fortunately, you know, the HydroPulse is for the sinus, but, you know, more people have chest problems, asthma, chronic bronchitis, and so on, which can be traced to a bad sinus infection. And so many of the allergists, when people have asthma, they just automatically put them on the HydroPulse, and that can make a huge difference. You see, many years ago, we didn't really understand that the mucus from the nose did get into the lungs. Then they made this fancy radioactive study where they tagged the mucus in the nose, and then they found out that that showed up in the lungs 16 hours later. So you want to avoid any of that bacteria getting into the lungs. And one of the best ways of doing that is to remove it. And one of the best ways of removing it before it gets down there is with irrigation, especially with the HydroPulse.
Now, I know a lot of people, when they first hear about this, you know, it sounds like, well, boy, this sounds kind of barbaric. I mean, you know, putting a garden hose up my nose is what it sounds like. But It's why don't you describe for our listeners really what this technique does? I know we kind of left another discussion on hold about the relaxation. We'll come back to that if someone's especially anxious to hear that. I am. But tell us, as we're speaking about this invention, how it works.
Know, one of the reasons I developed the HydroPulse was because I saw scuba divers who simply blew the nose too hard. And I tried. I sat there for half an hour trying to teach them how to blow the nose gently, and I was not successful. Now, with the HydroPulse, you can set an exact pressure, which is what we call 5 PSI, which is very, very low. And that's just the right pressure, not too high, not too low, just right. And because it's so gentle, and because it's the exact pressure, then it feels good, and it does the job. But on the other hand, if you use these squeeze bottles or sniff salt water and so on and so forth, if the pressure is too high, then you spread germs to the good areas of your nose and into the ear. And, of course, preventing an ear infection is very, very important. Now, the HydroPulse does not just remove bacteria and mucus. The pulsation rate is the kind that gets the cilia, the little microscopic hairs in your nose, moving again. It's like soldiers marching over the bridge. If they march in step, the bridge vibrates. Well, this is the effect that you want. Now, one of the things that the Indians do also, if you may recall, is or deep vibration or chanting. And that goes like is very beneficial for both the chest and the sinus. That vibration does move the cilia. So we're trying all these different ways to get people well without drugs.
It's very, very fascinating. Now, you were speaking earlier when we had to slip away for our break, Dr. Grossan, about relaxation and just telling someone to relax is often not sufficient. So you've instructed people over the years to look in the mirror, notice that their face is relaxing, their facial lines, etc. But you also were speaking about changing the breathing rate. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, when you have anxiety, you breathe rapidly. And, of course, when you're fully relaxed, lying on the beach, you breathe very slowly and calmly. Now, the idea is to try to get that lying on the beach in the sun effect while you're walking around trying to sell gadgets, whatever. So if you stand in front of a mirror and look in the mirror and change your breathing from equal time in and out to breathe in at the count of 4 and out at the count of 6, then you're in a relaxation mode as far as your muscles are concerned. Now, when your muscles are completely relaxed, you cannot have anxiety. Now, so many illnesses that we have, pain, arthritis, tinnitus that's ringing in the ears, and sinus problems are made worse by anxiety. In other words, the more it itches, the more you scratch, the more nervous you get, and so on. And breaking that anxiety cycle can make a huge difference.
Now, that's excellent information. So you wouldn't be saying so much that you can't still have some worries or concerns, but if you can relax the muscles, you're getting rid of the physical component of the anxiety that's contributing to these problems. Am I understanding that correctly?
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, you can draw blood on someone who comes into the office, you know, tense and anxious and so on, and then you can put them on one of these biofeedback machines where they learn to relax the muscles and then draw the blood again. And it's a totally different situation. And again, this is why the ancient Indian spas, you know, the hot baths, were so effective. Because in the hot bath, the person did relax and restored their natural cortisone level and so on. Put it this way, scientifically, the more anxious you are, the lower your cortisone level goes.
So well, you and I know the significance of that, the cortisone. You know, we've talked about it a couple of times, cortisone and cortisol. But for the lay people tuning in, who cares what your cortisone or cortisol level is?
Right. Well, again, relaxation can help you speed whatever problems you have. And as a matter of fact, many of the research today has to do with getting people well from cancer by teaching them relaxation. Huh. And some very interesting research on that.
Now, let's go into to expanding this, because we're speaking about all the things that can happen naturally when you relax, when you do simple natural things, when you avoid the medication. And I know many of our listeners, they hear sinuses. You've been making the connection with ear problems. Others are making connections with headaches. They've been told they have sinus headaches. Why don't you explain the big picture with some of these problems and how it relates to some other common conditions?
Well, you see, a patient comes to me and says, I have frontal sinus infection, but I had I had an x-ray, and the x-ray says I don't have it, but here it is. And they point to the area above their head, and they say, this is where my sinus is inflamed. Well, turns out the head is kind of connected in a special way, and if you go to the back of the neck and feel around there, and you push a certain area where the neck, back of the neck connects, that's my pain. In other words, just because the pain is located above the eyes does not mean that you have a sinus infection. It can be the neck. It can be what's called a migraine, which is a blood vessel type of headache. And so you really need to make a correct diagnosis. But for most people, when they get a headache, there's nothing wrong with taking a cold cloth, putting it on your head, going into a dark room and trying to take a nap. That works as good as any of the medications.
So will work for sinus problems as well as migraine and other types of headache?
Well, it can. For migraine, we've had good luck with teaching the blood vessels not to be so twitchy. See, migraine, the blood vessels constrict, and that's what we call the aura, where a person feels that the headache's coming on, and then they slam open, and it's that door slamming open that is the migraine. So what we have them do is practice in the shower, run the shower real hard to the back of the neck, and very gently turn to the right and to the left as far as they can go. Take about 4 minutes every day. What can happen is that the blood vessels will learn not to be so twitchy, and we've been fairly successful with this.
So all a person needs to do to decrease their risk of migraines, at least in some cases, is get in the shower, run hot water on the back of their neck?
And stretch the neck.
Wow.
Because, again, you're training the blood vessels not to be so twitchy. It's the same thing as if you have a spasm of the eye. If you put, you know, warm compresses and massage the eye, the spasm will go away. And migraine is essentially a spasm of the blood vessels.
Well, that's a fascinating natural treatment. That's one that I'm not aware of. We're talking with Dr. Murray Grossan. He's sharing with us many insights that relate to head and neck health, especially focused on the sinuses. But you can see here we're getting good information about headaches. We've got some very interesting material coming up about ear infections. That's something that plagues you or your children. You don't want to miss this discussion. A lot more coming up with Dr. Murray Grossan. You're listening to American Indian Living on Life Talk Radio and Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today. From World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. The second half of today's show, we continue our dialogue with Dr. Murray Grossan. He's an ear, nose, and throat specialist who has a special interest in Native American history as far as medical treatment. He's shared that with us, and he's really devoted a large portion of his ear, nose, and throat practice over the years to exploring innovative non-drug therapies for dealing with common head and neck problems. We've been speaking.
I wonder, we may have been cut off, but in case we're not.
Sinus problems and other things, or do the ear problems usually just come up out of the blue?
Okay. I think preventing ear problems is very important. Again, mm-hmm. The number one thing is to teach the children not to blow the nose too hard.
Okay.
And one of the main benefits of my HydroPulse is that you do learn gentle nose blowing, or not at all. But, you mm-hmm. know, we're not really designed for 2007 living with shampoo and soap and water and all that. Mm. And a lot of people will develop infection in the outer ear canal. And that's because the soap gets into the ear canal and stays there, and then it itches. And then the person scratches at night, and it gets infected. So if you're having a problem with outer ear infection, a good idea is to get in the habit of avoiding soap and water in the ear canal. And one way of doing that is to use baby oil before you shampoo, and this can be very helpful.
So basically this problem that many people would call swimmer's ear,
exactly.
In your experience, often is due to the shampoo itself that people are using.
Exactly. The shampoo gets into the ear canal, and it stays there, and it takes out the oil that's naturally in the ear canal, and then the ear will itch, just like your hands will itch when you have dishpan hands. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I call these infections in the outer ear canal dishpan hands of the ear canal. And the treatment basically is to avoid the soap and water and use baby oil before you shampoo.
That's very interesting. Now, many doctors over the years have told people if they have these external ear infections, you know, the swimmer ear problems, they say, well, you know, you mix up, you know, if you want to do something natural, a little solution of half vinegar and half alcohol. Is that kind of an old wives' tale, or is there some effectiveness to that approach as well?
Well, I don't like alcohol because alcohol is a drying agent. You know what happens if you leave alcohol on your skin?
Exactly.
Now, it will kill the bacteria, But the bacteria is really not the problem. The problem is that you don't have good natural oil. So I think dilute boric acid is excellent, and vinegar is also excellent, dilute vinegar. But I would stay away from the alcohol. As a matter of fact, there are several commercial products available to dry the ear, which contain alcohol. And I must say that I see these patients in my office after they've used it because, again, it took out the natural oil, and then in their sleep they did scratch the ear. You know, one thing that I hope we can get across, the doctor will tell the patient, it's your fault because you scratched your ear. Well, that's not right. It's not the patient's fault because he scratched his ear. It's the doctor's fault because he didn't tell him what to do to avoid the itching. I mean, we've got some wonderful medications available to stop itching, you know, Benadryl and so on. And why not use that?
Or avoid the problem in the first place, like you're saying.
Exactly.
Put the baby oil in and you won't create the itching.
Exactly.
So we've got these external ear infections, but we've also got middle ear infections, right?
Yes, those are tough. One of the problems there is that very often this is associated with a chronic sinus problem. Hmm. And for these people, we do try to clear the sinus. Now, for children, the more they have sinus problem, the more the adenoids, that's the tissue that's like a tonsil in the back of the throat, will enlarge. And if the adenoids enlarge too much, they clog the ear, the tube that runs from the ear to the throat. And that will cause some bad ear problems. So we try to clear up the child's sinus problem. Fortunately, children as young as 5 can use the HydroPulse. And, of course, there are other ways of treating children, too. But clearing the sinus is the number one thing for chronic ear problems. Now, when you've got an ear that's been draining, that means that there's a hole in the eardrum. And one of the things we do today is to try to get medicine into the middle ear through the opening. And that can work very nicely. Another problem that we have, which is a hidden problem, shall we say, is fluid behind the eardrum that is not causing any real symptoms except that the child can't hear.
Right.
And unfortunately, children who can't hear, even when they can't hear out of one ear, will not tell you that they have an ear problem. And these are the things that are picked up in the routine examinations that we give children in schools and so on. This is called serous, that's spelled S-E-R-O-U-S, otitis. Now, it's not exactly an infection. It's more like there's a vacuum, and the ear is trying to fill that vacuum by making liquid. And but treatment of this is very important, because if you have a child of 3 and they have this fluid in the ear and can't hear for 9 months, well, that's 20% of their total learning time, and that could be very, very important. So we look for serous otitis, and when we find it, we try treating it with irrigation sometimes, and sometimes with enzymes such as papaya and pineapple enzymes, or sometimes we'll just go directly and remove that liquid so the child can hear again.
Well, tell us about these enzymes. I mean, how would someone, if they, is this like a bromelain or something?
Exactly.
You know, how would, and how would someone deliver that to that area? Do they just take it orally, or how does that work?
Well, actually, you can buy bromelain for digestion, and that's what it's for. You know, you swallow the pill, and it does help you digest your food. We're using it for a totally different situation. I have a product that I made up for scuba divers called Clear Ease. That's on my website, grossand.com. And you melt that in your mouth. By melting it in your mouth, you avoid the digestion in the stomach, and then it can go to the ear and clear that up. Now, some doctors will give prednisone for fluid behind the eardrum, which does work. We like to try to get it cleared with less medication, so we try the Clearys first. And, of course, sometimes the doctor will ask the child to inflate the ears by holding the nose and blowing gently. That can work also, but unfortunately it doesn't work that well in many cases, at least the ones I see.
So you've got a list, really, in your mind, if not on your website, of natural therapies, of non-drug treatments for ear, nose, and throat problems. What else would be on your list as far as these kind of natural remedies?
Well, again, the number one is green or black tea with or without caffeine, chicken soup, and then also call it a healthy diet. In other words, people that eat, fatty foods and trans fats and all that sort of thing, they don't do as well as people who are on more of a healthy diet, fresh vegetables and that sort of thing. I don't think it has to be necessarily organically grown, because those are more expensive, but there's a big difference between a fruit salad and a vegetable salad and a hot dog with a mustard and ketchup.
Okay, so try to get away from the fatty animal foods so much.
Exactly.
So if a person was having sinus problems or other ear, nose, and throat problems, if they found ways to do away with the lard and maybe left off the fry bread, all these things would likely help the sinuses as well?
Yes. In my book, I do have a list of foods that help the sinus. For example, wasabi is a very strong condiment, and boy, that'll open up your sinuses. And some people will actually take horseradish and eat it raw, and boy, that'll open up your sinuses and also make your ears light up as well. But rather than go to any drastic steps, I do recommend the relaxation because we know that will help your immune system.
Very good. We're talking with Dr. Murray Grossan. He's speaking about insights, many of which are found in his book, The Sinus Cure, 7 Simple Steps to Relieve Sinusitis and Other Ear, Nose, and Throat Conditions. It's published by Ballantine Books. It's been out there for 5 or 6 years, and it's something you can pick up at your local bookstore or at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. I'll have Dr. Grossan's book, The Sinus Cure. If you're interested in other information that Dr. Grossan has been sharing, if you're interested in the HydroPulse machine that he's developed for ear and sinus problems, or just want more information about his books or the Clear Ease natural supplement he's mentioned, Grossan.com, www.grossan.com. You can get more information at that website. Dr. Grossan, before we finish up today, though, there are so many other things that are related to ear, nose, and throat health. One of them that seems like an epidemic today is what's often referred to as GERD. What, first of all, is GERD?
Well, you see, many people eat badly. They'll take a full meal at 10 o'clock at night and go to bed. Mm-hmm. And that full meal will push on the opening between the stomach and the esophagus, the swallowing tube, and force it to be open. And so the acid that's being generated by your stomach will end up in your throat and cause hoarseness and other symptoms. Now, one of the biggest sellers in the market today are all these medications to treat GERD, by inhibiting the production of acid, but
there's some better strategies, huh?
But we have strategy to avoid the pills.
We've got to talk about that, because many of our listeners have problems with this gastroesophageal reflux problem, this heartburn, and other symptoms. We've got more coming up with Dr. Murray Grossan, you've got to hear this if you've got intestinal problems, heartburn, and the like. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by the Lifestyle Center of America. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center and used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 800-596-5480. American Indian Living is also sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, known as NAHAI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHAI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHAI is available at nahaicharity.org.
Canned vegetables. Bring them over here. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on. Help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want them.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome to our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose with Dr. Murray Grossan. Dr. Grossan is sharing with us some fascinating insights into natural therapies that can make a difference for head and neck problems. Traditional Native American practices have valued these simple remedies, and Dr. Grossan has really seen the wisdom of such approaches in his years of ear, nose, and throat practice. Dr. Grossan, we were speaking earlier about GERD, this problem that often causes heartburn and all the medications that people are using today, whether it's the purple pill, you know, the Nexium or the Protonix or whatever. Acifex, yes. What natural strategies are available if someone has this problem?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There just appeared in gastroenterology a study in which they gave half the people the Acifex and the other half the people the instructions. And the people with the instructions did about as well as the people on Acifex. What you have to do is remember that when you eat, you do produce acid. Okay, so when you lie down flat, then the acid can run up into your throat. So try not to eat after 8 o'clock at night. Avoid caffeine, alcohol, and spicy foods. All these stimulate acid. Avoid wintergreen, of all things. The mints, these relax the sphincter. And make sure that the head of your bed is elevated. Now, the more you can elevate the head of the bed, the better. And by the way, you can go on Craigslist and find all kinds of hospital beds for sale, very, very cheap, where you can just crank them up and have the head of the bed elevated. Or you can buy one of these V-shaped gadgets that lifts the back of your head up. All these things do help. Or you can just put blocks under the bed. But in this study that was just people who followed these instructions had as much relief for their symptoms as the people taking the pills. And
wow.
The reason they did the study was because they were getting people taking two Aspex a day, which is very expensive, and not mm-hmm. getting well. Well, it turns out they were eating all the spicy foods and smoking and drinking and eating after 10 o'clock at night. No wonder uh-huh. they didn't get well. That's uh-huh. like my patient with cough. He kept on coughing despite my medication, and he continued smoking four packs a day. And he said, what a bad doctor Dr. Grossan is. He didn't get me to stop coughing.
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing, isn't it? So these simple lifestyle practices can make a huge difference, can't they?
Oh, yes. Now, we talked about snoring a bit ago, mm-hmm. and snoring is somewhat a similar situation. Now, you have to understand there are two kinds of snoring. There's the social snoring, which is important, but is not life-threatening. And then uh-huh. there's the sleep apnea snoring, which is okay. Life-threatening. And one has to differentiate that. It's ideal if your partner can say whether you stop breathing at night mm-hmm. and whether you're tired in the morning and fall asleep during the day. You know, the automobile statistics show that people who've had two accidents usually have sleep apnea. Because wow. what happens is they fall asleep while driving. Wow. So there's a movement now by the insurance companies to have everyone who's had two accidents get a sleep study. Wow. And I think that'll be, you know, quite the thing very shortly. Anyway, mm-hmm. a couple of things that help sleep snoring, the social kind, is opening up the nose. The way you do that is you take the tip of your nose and lift it mm-hmm. up gently. Now, when you do that, you'll notice you breathe much better. Mm-hmm. So if that works for you, then tape it up. In other words, start the tape under your nose, bring it up across the top of your nose, and hold it there in place. This is just when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that's very important is to make sure your nose is moist at night. Having a pan of water in the room is good. Some of these nasal gels, for example, we have one called Breathe's Nasal Gel, which moistens mm-hmm. the nose at night, and it's very useful for the snoring. Another okay. thing that works is that when people sleep on their back, they snore. When they sleep mm-hmm. on their side, they usually don't snore. So if you take an old beat-up tennis ball and mm-hmm. sew it into a T-shirt and have someone wear that at night, that'll keep them from sleeping on their back and help.
So the tennis ball's in the back of their T-shirt, in other words.
Exactly, yeah. And uh-huh. these things are important because it does really bother the partner. I mean, the partner who loses sleep because of the snoring suffers just as much as the person who is snoring.
Yeah, if not more, right?
And we do want to save marriage.
Good. We appreciate your perspective on that. Listen, one other subject I really wanted to make sure we covered before we finish, and that has to do with anosmia, people who lose their sense of smell. Is this a common problem, or do I just see it more often and hear about it because I'm a doctor?
Well, it is more common because some of the products that are being used in the nose as a spray can cause anosmia. What I strongly recommend is that before you use any nasal spray, whatever it is, whether it's over-the-counter or whatever, give yourself a little test. Take one of the aftershave lotions or whatever and see how your sense of smell is for that. Then mm-hmm. after you use the product, check it again. Now, we see a lot of people with anosmia, and when we see them immediately after it occurs, we can get their sense of smell back. Because what's happening is that for various reasons, people have a bad reaction to the spray that they're using. And that reaction is inflammatory. And when the smell organ gets inflamed, those little nerves go through very, very narrow channels, and they lose their circulation and blood supply, and they die. So if we give them prednisone or whatever to get the swelling down, we can bring back the sense of smell. And I've had two very successful cases like that, but I saw them right away. So I think that simple little test is worth doing.
So basically, a warning sign, if you're starting to lose even a little bit of your acuity of your sense of smell with the use of a spray or something, basically just stop using that spray. Is that your recommendation?
Yes, but if you find that you've completely lost your sense of smell, it is best to have the doctor see you ASAP as soon as possible, because there may be a swelling there that we can correct and get the sense of smell back. It's very similar to when people have seventh nerve paralysis, Bell's palsy, where one side of the face loses its movement. The sooner we get that swelling down, the sooner we'll get that sense back.
Great. Dr. Grossan, I know a lot of people have been tuning in today. They've enjoyed the material you have. I know you've got a lot more in your book, The Sinus Cure, Seven Simple Steps to Relieve Sinusitis and Other Ear, Nose, and Throat Conditions. But you've also got a wealth of material on your website. Tell our listeners a little bit how they can get more of your information.
Sure. It's www.grossan.com. And there's a fun video there of the little girl using the hydropulse I think everyone will enjoy. And we get accused because after she uses the hydropulse, she, oh, I can breathe so much better, and she's got that big smile on her face, and everyone wants to know if this is a paid actress or not.
Was it? Tell us.
No, it's actually my grandchild, yes.
Oh, okay.
Confession is good for the soul.
But she obviously liked it if she has said, I haven't gotten to see the video yet, but I know my kids are captivated with the whole concept. It was not something that I've used in my practice over the years, so it's good to know it's out
look
there.
Look at it this way. If you have 10 units of bacteria in your nose and sinus, and you use the irrigation and remove nine units, obviously you're going to get well a lot faster.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Dr. Grossan, you've been a wonderful guest to have on the show. Murray Grossan, he's a ear, nose, and throat specialist. He's got a wealth of experience, and he's sharing that experience through his website. It's www.grossan, that's grossan.com. You can get further information about his inventions, his natural preparations, as well as his book, The Sinus Cure, Seven Simple Steps to Relieve Sinusitis and Other Ear, Nose, and Throat Conditions. I'm Dr. David DeRose. For all of us at Life Talk Radio and at Native Voice One, the Native American radio service, we hope today's show has really made a difference in improving your health. The traditional Native American wisdom emphasizing natural remedies echoed by Dr. Murray Grossan.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. We hope today's program has contributed to your living a healthy life. American Indian Living Radio is brought to you by the Native Education and Health Initiative in partnership with the Lifestyle Center of America and Life Talk Radio. American Indian Living is also distributed through the public radio satellite system by American Indian Radio on Satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications.